Welcome to the Retire Right podcast with Larry Heller. You deserve complete financial advice. There's no acceptable alternative if you want a plan to live well and on your terms. Complete financial advice equals complete peace of mind. Now, let's get into this week's podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to episode number 16 with Larry Heller. Today we're going to talk about the 10 financial steps to take in this new year. Now, Larry, this is an amazing list and people need to grab a piece of paper because the stuff that you're going to go over are things that they probably should write down. So let's jump right in. What is the first thing that you think people need to do in this new year?
Hi, Matt. Okay. Step number one is to make, or if you have done it in the past, revise your financial goals. In one of our earlier podcasts, podcast three, which we did last June, I discussed your financial goals and your visions and your mindsets. And you can't just do this once. You need to do this on a continuing basis. So the beginning of the year is as good a time as any to kind of look at your steps that you need to take for the upcoming year and see if anything needs to be modified or changed, and then look at your game plan and your visions for 5, 10 years and beyond. So step number one is to make or revise your financial goals, visions, and mindsets.
And that leads us right into number two, which would be increasing something that most people don't increase on a regular basis, which is their savings.
Absolutely. So, you know, everyone struggles, or a lot of people do struggle to how much they should save and how much they should spend. But again, you know, the beginning of the year is a good time to kind of look at this. And since most people these days have 401k plans, that's the first thing that I recommend that you do is look at the 401k plans. I just read an interesting article on how long it takes to accumulate $1 million. And if you start at age 25, it's only $3.57 a day to get to $1 million, or $109 a month. If you wait to age 55, it's $156 a day and $4,749 a month that you need to save. So each year, starting as early as you can, you want to try to increase it. Even if it's only increasing it a few percentages or a few dollars, you'll find that it's easy to do without some of that money. And before long, you could be lucky enough to reach the maximum. And speaking of the maximums, the 401k plans, which is kept in the new tax law, the maximum for 2018 is now being increased. Regular limits are $18,500, and if you're over 50, you get a $6,500 catch-up. So you're able to put away $25,000 in 2018. And you really shouldn't stop there. You should, you know, see what else you can save beyond your 401k plan and start to set up a auto-save program similar to your 401k. Pick a number each month and have it automatically deducted from your savings account and moved over to an investment account. The more you can do, the more you can add, the more it will grow, and the earlier you'll be able to retire with a big pot of money.
You led us right into number three, which has to do with tax planning, because if you do what you just talked about, increasing your savings correctly, that can have impact, and well, it's going to have some sort of impact on your tax planning, correct?
Yes, and of course, the new tax law, which we're still going through and seeing where some of the planning opportunities are. So this year, when you're meeting with your accountants and not only doing your 2017 taxes, but it's very important that you meet not only with your accountant, but also your wealth manager, your financial planner, and see some of the strategies now with the new tax law that you can do. The increased standard deduction is increasing, so a lot of people may no longer be able to itemize. One of the reasons is that the state and local tax limit plus your property taxes, those combined cannot exceed $10,000. So if before you were deducting a lot more for those itemized deductions and you no longer can do that, you may now be taking a standard deduction. So you may, some of the things you may have been deducting before, you may no longer want to deduct. So, and on top of that, you know, depending upon what tax bracket you're in, you may be in a lower tax bracket. So for example, if you're no longer allowed to maximize what we call your SALT deductions more than 10,000, maybe your mortgage is no longer tax deductible for you because your standard deduction is greater than your itemized deductions, including your mortgages. So before, when the mortgage was a great tax saving tool, maybe now you want to start to pay down your mortgage. So that's one thing to look at. The other one is, you know, your Roth versus your traditional retirement plans, whether it's a 401k or a savings plan. If now you're in a lower bracket, maybe a Roth even becomes more advantageous. Plus, when you're retired now, depending upon what brackets that you're in, you want to kind of look at this now, because we've talked about filling up different buckets in a previous podcast, but now the brackets have changed and they're lower. And one of the things about the tax law that people may not realize, this sunsets in 2026. What does that mean? That means it reverts back to the previous law in 2026. So maybe only the next 8 years we have lower tax brackets, and when we get a new administration in, maybe they raise it. But even if they don't raise it, it's set to expire in 2026. So the next few years may be historical low rates that you want to plan for. So that's a critical one, and we'll be discussing more about that, I'm sure, on a future podcast.
Number four is investment asset allocation. Explain what you mean by that and how that is one of the 10 financial steps to take this year.
So everyone should be looking at, you know, where they invest their money. How much goes into the stock market? How much goes into bonds? And within the stock market, how much is in U.S.? How much is in small? How much is in large? And of course, the last 8 years, we've had a tremendous run on the stock market. And nothing lasts forever. So if you've done nothing, maybe now your allocation to the stock market is much higher than you want it to be. So now is a good time to look at your allocation and possibly rebalance, whereby you move some money from the stock market into some other vehicles. We're not market timing here. We're just trying to look at your allocation. So there's really kind of six areas you want to look at this besides rebalancing, which is one, is what's your overall allocation. But what is your time horizon? If you're still 10, 20 years away, you still can be adding more into the stock market now, because even if we had a correction, it will, or it has always come back around in that time frame. So you want to look at your time horizon. You want to look at your risk tolerance. You want to look at the current market. And then, of course, you want to look at your taxes, because if you do rebalance outside your 401k plan, there may be some tax ramifications. So this is a great time to look at your overall investment strategy and your investment allocation and make the necessary adjustments for the upcoming year.
Number five is insurance review. Why do people need to look at that on an annual basis?
Well, because everything changes, and you know, at least once a year you should be looking at this. You know, your income changes and your lifestyle changes. Did you have another child? Do you need more life insurance? Do you need more disability insurance, or do you need less? Do you not need it anymore? Or if you're getting up into that age where you want to start thinking about, oh, how do I protect myself against a long term illness? Do I need long-term care insurance? Can I self-insure my long-term care? How much do I need? So looking at those and just making an adjustment and seeing what you have should be done at least once a year, and now is as good a time as any. You know, I also say you should look at your property insurance and make sure if your home has gone up in value, if you have more possessions, maybe you bought a new diamond ring for the holidays for your spouse, and you know, it needs to be, make sure that it's properly insured. So it's a great time of the year to look at not only what you need, but also what it costs. And maybe you should be looking at some of these coverages and trying to find some comparisons to still see if it makes sense for you.
You had just talked about life changes. And if you do have children, number six is, or even if you don't have children, if you maybe just got grandchildren, number six is very appropriate as a transition year. So what's number six?
That's a great point about children and grandchildren, because we have a lot of clients who the grandparents are, that's one of the things that they love to do is help their children out for college plannings. So the 529 plan has gotten even better. What do I mean by that? So the new tax law this year is expanded, at least federally for right now. The states haven't come out yet and said that you're able to withdraw money from a 529 plan for private high schools or private elementary schools or even homeschools that you can take out of your 529. There is a limit up to $10,000 per account, but and I want to caution that right now it's federally tax-free. The state hasn't gone out and said it's going to be state tax-free, but that is another advantage that you can do. But also, trying to determine college costs are going up, and you want to start as early as you can, and the 529 plan is a great way of doing that and figuring how much you're going to need to have sometime down the road. New York State goes one step further. They'll give you a deduction up to $10,000 by funding a 529 plan. So again, are you on track? Do you have enough saved? Do you need to add? The more that you can do in the 529 plan, because it grows tax-free for you, as long as you use it for college, the better off you're going to be. And again, this should be looked at least once a year.
This new tax law has changed a lot of stuff, including, you know, your savings limits with 401ks, you know, the taxes overall, just like you were talking about there with college planning. So that's going to be very applicable when it comes to estate planning, which is number seven of the 10 steps to take this new year.
Yes. Now, part of this definitely helps the very high net worth individuals by doubling the estate tax limits. So now there are people that were eligible for the estate tax that now don't. It's going from 5 million to 10 million, roughly. So with the new higher limits, a lot of people's plans were put together for lower limits. So do you need to look at your plans and see if something needs to be addressed, such as the account ownership or disclaimer trusts in the wills? Are they necessary? Also, just because the federal law went up, the state law might not have gone up. So you want to look at that as well. And then also now with these much higher limits, and there's no guarantee that down the road they'll change back, should you be gifting more now that you can to take advantage of these higher limits? So this is obviously very technical and should be discussed with your financial planner and estate tax attorney, and looking at how you can save money and how you can prepare for the estate taxes. But it goes beyond just estate taxes. I can't tell you how many people that we come in the door and we review their wills, and they have old wills that don't have their children name as in their wills, or have people that have passed away as executors or trustees, or don't have healthcare proxies or power of attorneys that could be critical in a certain situation. So again, all these documents should be reviewed and looked at once a year just to make sure anything hasn't changed. I also go through what should be reviewed is your beneficiaries. And this gets a little confusing because people think if they have their wills, that's how their money is going to be distributed to everyone. And that's not the case. In a retirement account and in an insurance policy, your wills do not govern them. They go by contract of law. So that means in your 401ks, in your insurance policies, you need to go, your brokerage accounts, you need to look at the beneficiaries and make sure they're still accurate, not just your wills. So again, at least once a year, good time as any, go pull out all your beneficiaries, pull out all these documents and make sure that they're up to date, or better yet, go see a certified financial planner to help you with it.
As far as I know, even though that it's 2018, science hasn't figured out how to reverse the aging process yet. Number eight has to do with the fact we're all getting older, including our parents. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So as this ages, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of different situations that come up. And this is not always the easiest conversation to have with a parent, but it's becoming more and more, you know, more and more important. And we're actually going to do a future podcast on this topic as well. So, you know, when your parents are getting older, how do you make sure that their healthcare situation is taken care of, that their financial situation is taken care of? Do they need help paying their bills? Do they need, assistance with some just health, health issues? Some of the scenarios we're seeing, unfortunately, is you need to protect your assets if you have some type of long-term care illness. We had a client, unfortunately, they went through $1 million of the assets because they didn't do some of the planning. So you want to protect against the long-term illness. We also have seen some scams that are coming up because the elderly are very easily preyed upon. And, if they still have control of their bank accounts, you've got to be aware that these scams are very good. And we've had a client whose parent was taken by these scams. So you want to watch out, watch out for that. So, now is a great time to have these conversations with your parents and start planning for them and the children of the parents. Who's going to be doing what? Who's going to be helping out? And if your parents don't live close to where you live, setting up and finding people or organizations that can help out with all of this. There's plenty of them around. So as we age and we grow older, this is becoming more and more important.
Number 9 is charitable giving. So why would that be something they should focus on this year?
Well, one of the things is in the new tax law. Now, people give because they want to give to charity, but also a lot of people give because they want the tax deduction. And like I said earlier, maybe the tax deduction is no longer going to be available because the standard deduction is higher. And if they are, if you are giving, with the stock market as high as it is, one of the things to be thinking about is the type of asset you give. Maybe giving an appreciated stock is much better than giving cash. And also giving non-financial blows and all that is also something. It's a good time of the year to clean out the basement. I actually said this to my wife. We've got to go through the basement and go through our cedar closet and just clean out and donate some to charity. So it's another good time of the year to look at this. We're going to have a podcast somewhere down the road on donor advised funds and some other ways of giving to charity. But it's a good time of the year to look at this and make some deductions.
A lot of these 10 financial steps to take this new year have to do with planning. And as a planner, which you are, number 10 kind of brings all of these together. Is that right?
Right. So really, step 10 is to do all step 9 plus any other planning that needs to be done and creating a game plan, whether you're doing it on yourself, whether you're reaching out to us, whether you're reaching out to your certified financial planner. It's a great time to create a plan for not only this year, but your future.
Before we wrap up, can you walk us back through all of these 10 financial steps to take this new year?
Sure. So step 1 is to make or revise your financial goal. Step 2 is look to increase your savings. Step 3 is to do tax planning. Step 4 is investment asset allocation, looking at your investment strategy. Step 5 is doing your insurance review of all your insurance policies. Step 6 is college planning. Step 7 is estate planning. Step 8 is a discussion with your parents on aging. And step 9 is charitable giving.
If people do have questions about any of these 10 financial steps, especially some of the more difficult conversations, beneficiary reviews, aging parent discussion, charitable giving, overall estate planning, would you just have them reach out to you specifically to initiate this conversation? Because, Larry, you've had these difficult conversations with not just clients, but friends and family for many years.
Sure. You could go to our website at hellowealthmanagement.com. And you can click on that link there and send us an email, or you can feel free to call us in the office, 631-293-2806, and somebody will set you up with a brief call.
Wonderful. Larry, thank you for your thought leadership today.
You're welcome, Matt.
And this was episode number 16 with Larry Heller, 10 financial steps to take in the new year. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time Larry comes out with a new podcast, it will show up immediately on your listening device. And it also makes it easier for you to share with your friends and family. We'll have another podcast very, very soon. We'll see you on the other side of the mic. Have a great day.